Okay, so if we just said that today is March 26, 2009, we're at the museum. I'm Phil Alexander.
Harry Drift.
Barbara Fleming.
Eugene Fleming.
Okay.
Me, I get congested. I do have congestive heart failure, you know, and I get congested with the weather, and the weather here is very conducive to congestion. But anyway, I remember before I even went to school, I used to sit in the winter, I'd look out the back window, because all the sleds were parked in our field hauling logs. See, they had no other way to transport logs except by water or rail. And they had no trucks at that time. It was all by sleds. And they, I think, last block had a team of horses, sled, and my dad did, and some others, you know, and they'd have about five slaves with, loaded with logs. And they went across our field, we went across Bert Frank's field, which is back of us, and I don't know where they got on, but I think they missed the Skelton Hill, you know. And so they would have a load there, and they'd take the load in, come back, load up. Now that was back in the area where Wallard Mosky's farm was, and Bill Dress farm.
Yes.
It was in back of that where they were logging. Now that was the hardwood because the pine was all gone. And then they'd come back and take another load in. They'd have two loads one day, take the Gaylord. Then the next day, they'd load up, take one load in, and come back and load up for the next morning.
Now where were they taking it to?
Gaylord, they had some of those logs were shipped by train. But then the last block used a lot of wood. And I remember the sleigh runners would freeze to the snow, you know, and they'd have to hook up a couple of teams to break them loose, you know, and so forth. And
typical lumber stories.
It didn't make any difference. It was a blizzard or what. They still didn't, you know.
All right, now you're give us about the time frame. About what year might that be that you remember seeing this out your window?
24, 25.
Okay.
I was young. I wasn't in school yet.
All right.
But I can remember standing in that window.
Uh-huh. Something interesting to watch.
Yeah. And
that was on the farm there on Parmeter Road?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they never opened roads in the wintertime, you know. I think one of the first roads that were opened was U.S. 27. And then later on, 32, but even after they started opening 32, because we had a rail line, you know, the BCG&A, which from Alpena to Boyne City. And mail was delivered by cutter, which would be like a light sled, you know, cutter and horses. And we had a mail lady, I'll never forget her,
a lady.
Cora Welch. She was related to the Welches in Johannesburg, you know.
Interesting.
And she always wore these whipcord trousers, boots, high-cut boots, they laced on the side, and high-cut boots up above the calf, you know. And she always had such a good attitude, always laughing, always smiling.
Now, did you have mailboxes, or did she...
No, we had mailboxes.
You had mailboxes, okay.
Now, there are times when a storm stole. My mother said, gee, they're not going to bring mail today. It's too storm. First thing you know, there was her horses, you know. And one day, she left our place, she tipped over. And I remember this, and she was laughing at the storm, you know. And my dad went out, and Tomosky from across the road came out, and they uprighted the sled, tossed the bag, real bag back, and
off she went.
And off she went. And, of course, the, the mail routes were quite small then, you know.
Oh, sure.
Because I don't remember when they used a horse and buggy. I don't remember that, but they used to before the car.
Did you ever ride, Harry, in a horse and buggy to town? Did you ever look your folks to town for groceries?
We always had a Model T car.
Okay. Yeah. I never did either. I never did either. I never rode a horse and buggy to town to shop.
We did go in the wintertime.
Yeah. Sleds?
Yeah, we did that. Mm-hmm. And Harvey Schaff, your granddad,
mm-hmm.
he had a slow team, and he was always the last one to leave town. It's getting dark, and Harvey's going home, you know.
Okay. I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
Were you born here in Otsego County?
Yeah.
On that farm. Okay, and when was that?
September 21st, 1919. I'll be 90 next year.
Mm. And then all the time that you lived in Otsego County, you were on that farm. Is that correct?
Well,
or did you move anytime?
Most of the time, I was in the Army for 4 years. I worked in Lansing for a year.
Okay.
Then I was in the Army for over 4 years. And I came back and I walked the Ernie Warner farm, it used to be. Well, ship owned it.
Ship owned it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that barn, I'll never forget it. It's, they used to say Johnny Ball, who owned that land, owned that farm.
That was the name.
Yeah. But one time, there was an old fellow, elderly fellow, he was probably younger than I am now, but he was elderly, you know. And he came, and I guess he saw Joe Tyson, and Joe took him around. Well, his dad bought that farm in 1876, and the barn was standing there. You know, it had timbers, it set on timbers, at least 2 feet square, one tree. It was kind of one full length, 50 feet. You know, one on each side. Yeah, and everything there wasn't a nail in it except the siding. Mm-hmm. Everything was fitted and pegged, you know. The fitting they did then, you know, it was
amazing.
With the tools they had, you know, was amazing. Yeah,
and this was located where?
Near where Jean lived, you know.
Yeah, Shack Road. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you farmed as well.
Yeah, I farmed.
Was it on Tommy's farm or on your farm?
No, on Harry's farm.
On your farm.
On
your farm.
Yeah.
Okay, we're
yeah.
Sharon and Galen.
Yeah.
On their side, so you don't
wait. Galen tore it down.
Yep.
Yes.
Some say he gave me a pulley that you use to pull up hay and all that. And it's just worn. You know, it took years for it to wear like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I should bring it here. And,
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking of bringing it today, and then I forgot.
So then how old were you when you started school?
Ooh, I probably was six. 5 or 6.
And it was right on the corner? The school was right on the corner?
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
You just had...
Right across the way. You're in the church there now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
The old Grange Hall.
Yeah.
The old Lakeview Grange Hall.
That was after the school.
Yeah.
They sold
yes.
to the Grange Hall. Mm-hmm. See, we were one of the most modern schools around. We had indoor plumbing. They had chemical toilets.
Oh.
We didn't have outhouses then, you know.
And that was back when you were, wow.
Yeah, and Ethel was my teacher for a couple of years.
Do you remember any of the other ones?
There was Hazel. Anyway, lived in Spar. I can't. She married one of the Skiers. I think Heeman Skier.
Oh, Heeman Skier.
I can't remember what her last name was.
And so this was before she was married. She was your teacher.
Yeah.
And you went to how many grades there?
Well, they had 8 grades. And you know, you can't knock those one-room schools because you would hear and see what's going on in the older grades, so you were really advanced when you got there. I know I went to the kindergarten now. They used to call it the primary grade.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That in first grade in 1 year. And then in order to get into high school in Gaylord, the kids from the country had to take a test.
Mm.
Now, this is before my time, because I didn't have to take the test, but I knew about it, you know. And then 1 year, they had the kids from Gaylord Town take the same test, and the kid in the country had a better score. And so they abolished it.
Did you have brothers and sisters that went to school with you?
Yeah, I had I have 3 sisters, no brothers. My sister Virginia, she went there, and then she went to St. Mary's. She graduated, I think, 1932. Of course, she's passed away. And Dorothy, who passed away a couple of years ago, she, about 3 years ago, I guess, four, she went to school there also. Then my youngest sister, Peggy, she went to school there, and then she went to St. Mary's, and she now lives in Florida. Her husband passed away, and she has a condo in Deerfield Beach.
How old would she be, Harry?
She was born on my birthday when I was 6 years old.
Okay.
So I'm 89, so she's 83.
So how many kids was in your class? I mean, in your...
In school?
Yeah, not in the whole school, but just in your class.
Maybe,
in grade?
Maybe four or five, depending, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Looked like the Tomaskis. Yeah, what Tomaski... And his brother, Alex, then it was the two older brothers, Harry, and his brother's name was, he was older, I can't think of it right now.
But Alec was in your grade?
No, he was younger.
Okay.
I don't know if he went to school there, anyway. But Harry did, he was, I think, my grade. And he was the top chef here at
Sugar Bowl.
At the Sugar Bowl, yeah.
I was thinking that if you mentioned that.
The last
but
time I
sure.
saw him, he was working there, but he was just coming to help out. He was retired.
Mm-hmm.
He went to, he was going to go to Florida. He went to Florida, so he quit and went to Florida. When he came back, Harry Dumas had a job for him. You know, and he and Harry would get in an argument, you know, and Harry would fire him, or he'd walk out, and next day Harry was back to his place for him to come back.
Yeah, the Dumas has had that little reputation.
It was, they were good people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Other things you remember about going to the one-room school?
Well, we walked.
Right, but not very far.
We were on skis, and then there was a hill there, you know, a couple of hills. Meantime, we'd hurry up, you know, most of the time we'd take it to our seat, you know, and sneak it, and then so we could run out and ski.
That was right on the south side of the Grange Hall, as I would call it, and they still, the Grange used to go and have little sled parties on that same hill.
Yeah, then there was the big hill a little further, mm-hmm. It's quite steep, mm-hmm. You'd ski there too, in Toboggan, and, well, the thing I remember a lot about is, they used to have Christmas programs, you know, and the people would all turn out. The farmers all turn out, and they supported this. And and not only that, but you'd go to other schools. Like we used to go to the Pike School, you know, walk. Everything you did, you walked, you know. And a lot of them would come to our school. I don't know ever going to Shaft School. Of course, that was a two-mile walk, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, over. It was actually by road. There was one, two, over three and a half. That was quite a walk. But the Fesslers,
they're
large. And
was there Herb?
No, not Herb.
Not Herb Fessler?
Earl Fessler. And... they used to come across the woods on skis, and finally they got to school. You know, they got out of the woods. It was storming so bad they didn't realize in the woods, you know.
Yeah.
And there was a road trail, you know. They cut off, but then
where'd they live?
They lived, you know, where that fellow that had the horses out of corner. You know where Wise lived?
Right,
going south. Just short distance out of
Elridge.
Percy Elridge.
Washburn's. No, Percy Elridge.
Percy Elridge? Oh, you were talking about
Percy. Had the horses.
Yeah.
Washburn was another mile.
Okay.
You're right.
He lived there.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, so that was quite a ways.
And you went there till eighth grade?
To the middle school? Yeah.
And about how many kids would there be in the entire school, not just your grade, but I mean, like, is there five or is there 50?
In the entire school?
Yeah.
Probably in a high teens, you know, close to 20.
If you take eight grades and say there was four, that'd be 30, you know.
Yeah. And I imagine there were between 20 and 30 most of the time, you know. In our class, we had four or five or so, you know, or at least six. You know, we had a pretty good-sized class.
That would be.
Yeah.
That five or six would be pretty
good. All day kind of a thing, or 9 o'clock in the morning?
Well,
o'clock?
I don't know what they started. Maybe probably 9 o'clock in the morning, and then they got out at 4, that I know, you know. And you had an hour for lunch.
Did you stay there or did you go home?
I used to walk home occasionally in the summertime. But never in the winter. I always carried our lunch. And I didn't like that idea to walk home because you couldn't play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what kind of farm? Just general farm?
Yeah. Potatoes and milked a few cows and sold a few head of cattle. And
had any pigs or sheep?
We had pigs.
In them days, it seemed like everybody had a few of everything.
Because they, we butchered every year, you know, and that was our meat. And, of course, the weather here, especially at that time, we butchered late in the, probably late November or so, and we had our entrance going down the basement, and you'd hang the meat on the side, and there was a you know,
be refrigerated.
Yeah. And the only time you had to worry about it, sometimes they had a thaw, like in January, February or so. March. So then you'd have to pack up the thaw or do something with it, you know, to keep it.
The potatoes, were those mainly for you to eat, or did you sell them also?
That was the main selling crop,
okay.
Potatoes.
And do you know what kind you grew?
Well, they had only primarily just one kind, and that was a real russet.
Okay.
It wasn't until later on, probably about the time of the war, when they came out with white potatoes, different, you know.
See, Harry, it's interesting talking to you. I thought you lived by the lake. You lived across,
yep.
And there would be more open land there to have the crops. I always wondered, there wasn't much on the north side of the road to have crops, but now I can understand the crops on the south side. There, although there's trees there today, there would not have been any at that time. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
And you farmed with horses.
Yeah.
And you remember when you got your first tractor?
Till after I got out of the Army. My dad never had a tractor. I remember when the Ford came out, there was a class, Tom and I and a few others went to, and it was with the Ford tractor. You know, and that was a nice tractor, you know, the Ford. But back in those days, they had lugs on the wheels, you know, and a tractor was only good in the field.
Mm-hmm.
And the Curis family, they had a trash machine, and they had, first of all, they used to pull the engine around with a team of horses, and the separator with a team of horses and so forth, you know. And but I mainly remember when, I remember the best, when they had a John Deere tractor. You know, big four-wheel drive. You had to be strong just to steer that thing, you know. And they'd have lugs. Of course, you couldn't go on. They wouldn't allow you on the road, even if it's a gravel road. With lugs, so you go down the bank and so forth. So then he went to the county garage and got old tires, and he cut them and bolted them to the wheels, and he had a rubber tire tractor, you know. And then that way they could pull the separator, too.
Uh-huh.
And neighbors always got together, help trash. Uh-huh. You know, you'd help your neighbors, and they'd help you, because he went from one place to the other.
And then what kind of crops would it be wheat or oats?
Yeah, oats, mostly oats. Yeah, mostly oats.
Oh. Back in them days, Harry, there wasn't much corn grown in a single county.
It was
too cold here, and it just didn't grow here.
Well, they didn't have the varieties. You know, now they have varieties shorter term. But then everything took a long time, and it was just too darn cold, you know. We grew corn to feed the cattle.
A little fodder, silage.
Yeah. And that's about it.
Do you have chickens?
Yeah. And we used to have chicken about every Sunday there one year, I remember. My mother always says, I'm not going to sell a chicken for 3 cents a pound and pay 10 cents for bony.
Interesting comment.
I remember that, you know. Yeah. And I remember another thing, going shopping with my parents. My mother and dad and I, we went to the A&P store. And I remember she bought bananas. What else she bought, I don't know. But I remember the bananas. And my dad carried 2 sacks out. My mother carried 1 or 2. I carried a sack out. $3.60. But it's hard to get that $3.60, you know.
Yeah.
And then the farmers would all come in, especially Saturday evening. Some of them would come in. I know my parents go in the afternoon shopping and then go back in the evening to visit. You know, they'd come in from all around. You know, you could see all your old friends, you know, from East of Gaylord, South of Gaylord, North of Gaylord, West of Gaylord. And, well, your folks probably remember that, too. And they used to, and they had angle parking in Gaylord, so the cars would be all lined up on Main Street. If you walk by and you look, keys would be dangling from half of them or more, and nobody ever lost a car. Never lost anything in a car. And the nice thing about life then, I mean, it was different. People were different, you know. Like, if I made a deal with Gene, we'd shake hands on it, there'd be nothing written, and we'd both abide by it, you know.
A little different today.
Oh, yeah. Today you have to have a contract.
Yeah.
Or else they'll take you to court.
Even,
you know,
within the family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Much less outside the
right,
family.
Right.
Now you said IGA, A&P. What other stores were in town?
There was an IGA store. You know, this street out here where the old bank used to set, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There was an IGA store on that street. Because I remember going shopping there, and there was, I think they took over, the A&P started there, and then they moved on Main Street near Kramer's store in that area.
And you remember Dumas, Sugar Bowl?
I remember the Sugar Bowl. When he started out, it was strictly a soda fountain, and he had a few tables, you know, and of course, I guess you could buy coffee and donuts for a nickel, you know, and they still had, I don't know if they still do it now, but they used to, on their anniversary in 1919, they had one day where they had the old menu, like stew, beef stew, 25 cents, you know, and those are the old days.
I remember Grandma Kelso always called them the Greeks.
Yeah.
That was
yeah, they called it a Greek restaurant.
Yeah.
Because they were, he and his brother were
Greek.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess the cousin owns it now, doesn't it? One of the Dumas?
Grandson or son?
I think it's a grandson.
Bob.
Yeah, Bob. I think
Bob.
He's
grandson.
About 80, isn't he? I think.
Yeah.
Who?
He's in his 80s, Bob.
It's a son.
Son and a nephew.
Bob would be about your age, wouldn't he? Or is he younger?
Older.
We're about, he may be a tad older than
yeah,
I.
Yeah, he's older.
We still talk once in a while on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
There, we go there after church for breakfast quite often, and he's in there quite regularly.
Oh, Bob?
Bob is in there quite regularly.
Okay, because I know he wanted to sell it, and his daughter didn't want any part of it, and he didn't have any sons. But then I heard that a cousin was going to take it over.
Could be Tony Cayley.
Yeah.
Could be.
Tony's in there now, and there's some relationship there.
Yeah, he's a cousin. But then the grandson is the one that owns it, Pete.
Or the son. Bob is the son,
I
maybe.
I think
what?
Bob still owns
here,
it.
He's
Bob.
Son.
But yeah, Bob is the son.
He
okay,
still
yeah,
owns
it. He
had a grandson. It has to be one of his daughters.
Yeah. So then you came in at 8th grade, and you came into school in Gaylord then?
Yeah. And they had no school buses, you know. Well, heck, they didn't even open the roads then. And so I stayed in town.
And you stayed with
I
who?
Had an aunt.
Oh, okay.
And stayed there. And I know And of course, that during the Depression times were rough too, you know. And I remember my mother and dad, they'd butcher a whole hog and take it to her, you know, and so forth. And
what was her name? Your aunt's name?
Mary Skinjel.